Now let's quickly go to chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, because as these judgments are unfolding, remember, I told you the events in the first 3.5 years, the two witnesses, the 144,000 male virgin Jews, and the seals go along parallel down almost two tracks, like a train goes down these two tracks moving into the distance. But there's going to be an event at the end of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period that will take place in the heavenlies and ultimately end up on the earth. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation tells us what that event is going to be. Starting in verse 7, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Several things we learn from this passage of Scripture. In other words, finally in the heavenlies, there is going to be no other opportunity for these evil angels, nor Satan, who is the leader of these evil angels, to have access to the heavens, any part of the heavens. You might remember there are three heavens. There is a man, the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, who went to the third heaven. Paul wrote that. I believe Paul was talking about himself. That's another discussion. But anyway, a man did go to the third heaven, and if there's a third heaven, there must be a second heaven and a first heaven. The first heaven is what we see right above us during the day when the sun is up and beautiful. And then the second heaven would be the area of the stars and the galaxies, which we see at night. And the third heaven, of course, would be where Jesus Christ sits to the right-hand side of God the Father on his throne in the third heaven. We need to talk a bit about angels just for a moment, and I have a complete study on angels that might be of interest to you. We'll get to these studies as we go through our School of Prophets Institute, but you might want to get ahead on some of your studying as you study the different subjects that we broach as we study here in the book of Revelation. Jesus Christ created everything. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. By him were all things created. So since Jesus Christ is the creator, that's who it was talking about in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 11. This, of course, the giving of the Ten Commandments, where it says, "In 6 days the creator created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is." Now we understand, according to Colossians 1:16, Jesus Christ is the creator. He uses 6 24-hour days to bring everything into existence. You can study Genesis chapter 1, which is the record of the creation, the 6 days of creation, and you'll never find a statement that says, "And on such and such a day, he created angels." What you have to do is allow yourself to study the Word of God, assimilate enough information to come to a conclusion. Let me suggest, and we don't have time to study all there is about angels, that's a 5-hour study that I have when we look at angels more in depth, and that's just touching the hem of the garment, by the way, as you study angels. In the 38th chapter of the book of Job, an interesting statement is made as God has a conversation with Job. Actually, Job was somewhat upset, and the Lord asked Job a very interesting question in verse 4. "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof?" In other words, Job, have you been able to measure the earth? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Verse 6, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" Can you show me on the earth where the foundations are fastened to it? "Or who laid the cornerstone for the earth?" Interesting questions. But notice what it says in verse 7. If you put verse 4 and verse 7 together, notice this. "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Those phrases, the morning stars and the sons of God, are terminology referring to angels. In other words, Job is being told by God, when he created the earth, the angels were there and they welcomed what God had just done, brought the earth into existence. When you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." What he left out was, in between creating the heavens, the place of habitation for angels, and the earth, the place of habitation for humans, he creates angels. It was on that very first day, the second act of creation. He created the heavens, he created angels, and then he created the earth. How do I know? Well, God told Job, the morning stars and the sons of God, angels, sang and glorified him when he brought the earth into existence. Now, all of these angels were good angels. Every single one of them. There were no evil angels in the first 6 days of creation. And by the way, I heard someone say the other day, angels and evil angels and Satan was actually brought into existence in prehistoric times. That word prehistoric is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as prehistoric times. Before God created the heavens and the earth, there was only God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity existed only in eternity past. In the beginning, that starts history. And notice that in the first 6 days of creation, there were no evil angels. In chapter 1, we see the record of all of creation. Now notice what Jesus, who is the Creator, says when the sixth day is finished and he's created everything. Verse 31, chapter 1 of Genesis. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I love what the Hebrew says there. Not only very good, but abundantly excellent. There were no evil angels. Satan was not around as Satan on this sixth day of creation. By the way, there was a cherub that was named Lucifer. He's referred to in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. He was the most prominent of all the cherubs placed over the throne of God in all of creation. And he's the one that rebelled against God. And sometime between chapter 1, verse 31 of Genesis, and chapter 3, verse 1, where that old dragon, the serpent, shows up. And we know, according to chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 9, that old serpent is Satan himself. He shows up. The deceiver does come into existence. But at the midway point of the tribulation, though he is going to lead what is referred to some kind of a mighty army of evil angels, one-third of all the angels ever created, they're going to be thrown out of the heavens. This will be done by Michael, who is the commander-in-chief of the good angels in the heavens. Go back again to chapter 12 of Revelation, and let's notice that just one more time as we conclude our thought on the battle in the heavenlies that will take place. And there was a war in heaven, chapter 12, verse 7. Michael and his angels, the good angels, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Where were these angels thrown out of? You see, they were not in the third heaven. There was only one, according to chapter 12 and verse 10, who had access to the throne of God to accuse the brethren on a daily basis. That was Satan himself. But with the rebellion of Lucifer becoming Satan, the deceiver, and taking one-third of all those created angels with him in rebellion against God, they were cast out of the third heaven into the first or the second heaven. Now, how do I know that? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of darkness, rulers in the heavenlies." Those terms are all talking about angelic creatures. What happened was Satan was cast to the first heaven. That's right above us where the sun and the clouds are located, or even into the second heaven where the stars are located. And in that particular location, Satan and his evil angels are there headquartered now, with Satan dispatching evil angels to the earth. We'll get to that in just a moment as we continue our study. That is the battle in the heavenlies. Back in chapter 8 now, as we continue our study through the book of Revelation, we look at the next set of seven judgments. These would be the seven trumpet judgments. Look at verse 7 with me, if you will. The first angel, and by the way, notice this. In chapter 6, it talked about the Lamb, Jesus Christ, opening the sealed judgment. As we look in chapters 8, 9, and 11 at the trumpet judgments and then the vial judgments in Revelation chapter 16, we're going to notice that Jesus Christ is going to use angels to open these seals. angels, the most used word in the book of Revelation, used 81 times. There are good angels and evil angels in Revelation. We'll try to point out the good ones and the evil ones. We've just seen the good angels are going to throw the evil angels and Satan out of the heavenlies down upon the earth. By the way, they're going to persecute the Jewish people during that last 3.5 years. They will unload with all the force they can to destroy the Jewish people. Verses 13 and 17 of chapter 12 talk about Satan knowing he has but a short time and he will endeavor to try to wipe out the Jewish people. See, if Satan can destroy the Jewish people, then God's plan fails. He's not able to keep his promise to the Jewish people. One way that Satan is going to see that happen is the judgment upon the earth, and ultimately it's going to end in his demise. Well, here in chapter 8, we now look at the trumpet judgments quickly. Verse 7, and the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Ecological judgment upon the earth. I'm not sure I believe in global warming, but there is going to be ecological judgment during the coming tribulation period. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were, there's that phrase, seemed to be, but not really is, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became as blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life, they died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. This is the second trumpet judgment. The third trumpet judgment, verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning, as it were, seems to be, but not really is, a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The waters, the fresh waters, the rivers, the ponds, and the lakes across the earth will be bitter, and many people who drink from these fountains of water shall die. The fourth judgment here in verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Another sign in the heavenlies taking place as this fourth trumpet judgment. Now in chapter 9, we come to the fifth and sixth trumpet judgment. And the fifth angel sounded, verse 1, and I saw a star fall from the heaven unto the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This is not a star like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, but a star like Michael Jordan is a basketball star, because it says, and to him. The star, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit. Verse 2. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Might I suggest to you, as we study through this passage of Scripture, these locusts are aliens from outer space. They will be evil angels released from the abyss, the Tartarus, the bottomless pit, that will come upon the earth and join the other evil angels under the leadership of Satan as they try to destroy the Jewish people. Who are these that will be in the bottomless pit? The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, that there will be fornication between angels and the daughters of men. That was the reason for the flood. Now, we don't have time to develop this for you, but the Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, and that would be a term described in the book of Job, chapters 1, 2, and 38, as angels, will have a sexual relationship with the daughters of men. And they will have children, and they will come into existence with a bloodline that is satanic in its origins. That is Satan's plan when he could not destroy the opportunity of a Messiah coming. Remember Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will give you a Messiah, the first prophecy of a Messiah, and Satan knew that that individual would come from the loins of a young lady one day. Satan said, well, all I have to do then is contaminate humankind. And so that's exactly what took place. You see, the Bible talks about in the book of Jude that there will be angels who have committed fornication. This is the only time in history when they could have done that. You say, well, wait a minute. The Bible says that angels are not married. Well, it talks about in the heavenlies. The lady at the well asked Jesus Christ, who is going to be my husband in heaven? And he responded by saying, you'll be as the angels in heaven. Well, the angels in heaven don't have a sexual relationship. But that phrase in that passage of Scripture was not dealing with sexual activity between men and women on the earth, only in the heavens. The Bible tells us that angels can take on the forms of human beings. When you look at chapter 19 of the book of Genesis, there was Lot, and he saw two angels walk into town, invited them to come to his house. He prepared a meal for them. They had a capability of eating a meal. He washed their feet. They were in the form of men. And in fact, those sodomites in Sodom and Gomorrah came to have a relationship with these men that were at Lot's house. Suffice to say, there will be these evil angels having sexual relationship with women, and the purpose for the flood was to wipe out that satanic strain in humankind. These are the ones, these angels, that committed that dastardly act some 4,500 years ago. They will be held in the abyss, in the Tartarus, in the bottomless pit, until they are released. Now, when they are released from that bottomless pit, they will take on the form of locusts. Not locusts like you've ever recognized, like grasshoppers, but look at verse 7 back in chapter 9 of Revelation. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were the face of men, and they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Notice verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was given to hurt men for 5 months. These are alien creatures invading the earth from outer space. They are locust-shaped animals or creatures, and indeed, they're not like any other grasshopper you've ever seen. They have the face of a man, the teeth of a lion. They have the hair of a woman. They have a breastplate. They have scorpions' tails, and they can torment men for 5 months. These alien creatures, these invaders from outer space, come to the earth and join with Satan and all the evil angels to try to destroy the Jewish people so that God's plan cannot take place. Now, these are UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Now, I don't believe there's any life on any other planet, any place in the universe. But I do believe that Satan and his evil angels are in the first heaven right above us, and Satan can dispatch them. Daniel chapter 10 talks about evil angels that come and take control of human world leaders to accomplish Satan's plan on this earth to destroy the Jewish people and keep Jesus Christ from being the victor and God being able to fulfill his promise. By the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about evil angels directed by Satan that will take control of religious leaders. So much so that those standing behind some sacred desk could be agents of Satan, disguised as ministers of righteousness, deceiving even the very elect.